Hi, everybody. I'm Elizabeth P., a recovered food addict. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
So glad to be here with all of you today. In talking about practicing these principles in all my affairs, let me just start by qualifying for a minute. I'm a food junkie, and I spent the first half of my life seeking comfort and ease that in the food, because I didn't know how to be in my own skin and have peace and not be anxious all the time. I never felt like I fit. I felt that I was putting out a persona, hoping you would like me, and that persona would chameleon depending on who you were, what the situation was, and I got farther and farther away from knowing who I was. This program has brought me back to who not only I was, but who I can become, which to me, the biggest thing is being aligned with what God would want for me, God of my understanding. So in talking about practicing in all our affairs, there's a couple of things I'm going to touch on. One is speaking truth. One is my side of the street. Kindness, love, and tolerance, and how those are things I have been taught in this program to practice. In everything that I do, there's not a recovery life and then the rest of my life. It's just life, and that's because of program. I used to pray to God when I wasn't in recovery that this affliction would be lifted from me. And I would be sorely disappointed then when I would pick up again. But here's the thing that didn't connect for me, that I was in denial and ignorance of, which is as long as I kept going back to the food, rather than staying the course through the painful experience of having a feeling, just that long, opening a channel to connect and commune with the higher power of my understanding was limited to one way, God to me, but I couldn't hear. I wasn't open. I wasn't able to listen. I had to find a way to get abstinent and put the food down so that I could awaken into my life where it was as it was, and it was a mess. It says in the big book on page 50, every one of them has gained access to and believes in a power greater than himself. This power has in each case accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves and to take a certain attitude toward that power and to do certain simple things, work the steps. They present powerful reasons why we should have faith, it goes on to tell us. So I held on to my old ideas, and one of them that was a foundation piece for me, even years into recovery, was what it talks about when it says that we are like, let me look it up here so I don't misquote it. The quote that talks about how, more than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. I wanted you all to see my outer stage character because I was terrified. Knowing how I needed this program, that if I showed you how I was struggling, if I showed you the pain, if I showed you the things that were falling apart in my life, that you would reject me, and I desperately needed you. And that terrified me. That terrified me. And in 2008 and 2009, you may recall there was a slight blip in the economy. And my husband lost his job. I lost my job. And then my husband couldn't cope and just sort of stopped being a partner. And it ended up that I was going to the food shelf. And I had such shame and such fear just gripped me. You know, the kind that has you around the throat that you can't breathe, that your chest is so tight, it hurts. And I didn't want people in the fellowship to know, because I wanted you all to think I was doing okay. Because I was abstinent, I was working the steps. Well, thank God I was abstinent and working the steps, because that is what allowed higher power to work. And I had to let go of that old belief. It tells me that we tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result was nil until we let go. Absolutely. I had to let go of that fear of rejection that I had gained from trusting people who were not trustworthy, people who were sick in their own addiction, people who were abusive, people who were not available in that way. And I can look out, in fact, as I'm scanning the room, I see several people here who were hugely impactful in that process for me. I talked to people and I told them what was happening. I was scared to death, and I told you I was scared to death. And guess what happened? They became angels with skin on. They loved me up. Here are some things that happened. I would go to a meeting and I would come home and I would get my big book out of my purse and there would be a $20 bill in there that wasn't there when I left. I would come home and there were groceries on my doorstep. People would call me and take me to Costco to get groceries for me. Not only that, practical stuff, but they helped me feel like my skin wasn't going to come off of my body, because some days the fear just gripped me so bad. Those moments, that experience over and over with all of you, completely transformed and catapulted me into a completely different way of living and being from then on. I had known how to give, I had not known how to receive with grace. You all taught me what it is to be of service to someone by receiving with grace when they are loving and caring for you. That was huge, because I liked being in control and knowing I was giving because I wasn't the vulnerable one. But when you saw me at my worst, my most shame-based moments, and you just hugged me and said, "We're here for you." Cool. Wow, the healing that happened for me was amazing. And that healing carried forward. That was, you know, God gave me this fellowship with people in it. Why not take advantage of that? There's a novel concept. I wanted to go it alone because it was a whole lot less scary, but that experience showed me that it was so insurmountable, I couldn't go it alone. And then I was so clearly demonstrated over and over by all of you that I wasn't alone. And you heard other people share about things that people have done to help, because we are all in this together. And I will tell you, that opened me to connect with people in a much more authentic, meaningful way. That helped me to grow an awful lot in trying to, one, be honest with people and speak my truth. I grew up in an alcoholic, codependent home where speaking your truth was not wise for survival. And that carried over. And I have learned in this fellowship, I am not perfect, but I am much more likely to pause and say what I feel or think than I ever used to. That is also a gift of practicing this in all our affairs. So people get to know me instead of the me I put out there that I think will get approval. And I get to know me, and I get some self-esteem that's real, not pretend. I try to practice being kind, loving, and tolerant. And you know when it's the most powerful? When it's the hardest. So October 13th last year, I turned 60, and I had thought I'd have this wonderful thing to celebrate turning 60, and it just wasn't working out. And so I just prayed about it, and I said, God, please put me where I'm supposed to be, and whatever the experience is. Now I'm thinking something fun, right? Around the 8th or so of October, I'm going to go visit my dad and stepmom, and my dad's health was failing. And what ended up happening is that week was spent 24/7 in tending to my dying father, who transitioned very quickly. And he died the morning after my birthday. Thank you, Dad, for waiting. And my mother-in-law could not cope with what was happening. The denial of seeing him starting to die was too much. Am I done? Stop. 30 seconds. So I was able to be there in a way I never would have been, and to be kind, loving, and tolerant, because I could call all of you because I've done the fire drill over and over, and I could say, I want to strangle her. And then I would go downstairs and say, what do you need? Thank you.